Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Happy Thanksgiving! You're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Happy Thanksgiving, my brother.
Brother, happy Thanksgiving to you and all of our listeners. Davey, I just remember doing this last year. It seems like a couple months ago, but I'm assuming you're going to ask me what my favorite holiday of the year is. I remember that from last year, and it hasn't changed, brother. It hasn't changed. It's the same. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, I have an addendum to that, though.
Okay.
Because I already know that your favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, and we share that.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to coming off the dinner table? That's what I want to know. That's the addendum this year.
Coming off the dinner table?
Yeah. What are you going to go off the dinner table into your mouth, into your face, if you will?
Wow. You know what? My daughter makes unbelievable yams. This caramelized walnut yams. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But then again, my wife makes the most amazing stuffing.
Oh,
and I'm not a real bread fan, but I make all the year that I don't eat bread, I just overdo it with her stuffing.
Sure.
But then one of my all-time favorites, just I won't get enough of it, is excellent, well-made cranberry sauce. I mean, I've got it coming. It's all over my face. It's coming out my ears.
Now, see, people are going to think I'm making this up. That's not the case. Our buddy Greg taught me how to make cranberry sauce. A million years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm going to put a little twist on it this year. I'm going to put a little twist because it's the best you can get. He truly came up with a great recipe, and that's my favorite thing. I'm going to do it on a open pit fire this year.
That sounds
cranberry sauce on an open pit fire.
That sounds very foreign to me. I don't get it as long as I can taste it. It's like, you know what? Sometimes it's like faith. I don't have to understand what's going on.
Right.
I just need to believe and rest and trust in the Lord. So I'll go with that. But listen, hey, everybody, talking about the Lord, we are looking straight up. I got my Bible wide open. And
this is going to be a fun program.
Absolutely. Because you know what? You cannot approach this time of the year without having to reflect. And, you know, let's be honest. This year in America, we've had some tremendous, devastating natural disasters. Okay, we've had things go on. Now, look, Davey, you and I are in California, and even if we haven't had a natural disaster, we've got disasters coming out of Sacramento and our elected leadership. We've all got issues. And yet, right now, no matter what, friend, is going on in your life, the Bible tells us, for example, in just one of the examples of the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, listen to this. God's message to us right now and always, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What a statement, because whatever's going on in our lives, we need to pause as believers and embrace it in the Lord and thank Him by faith, even if it's in the midst of disease, sickness, cancer, financial hardships, storms, floods, earthquakes. Lord, I thank you so much because you know the situation I'm in, and I'm not to worry. I'm not to fret. You are God. You knew all this before the world began, and I'm going to rest in your sovereign care. I love that.
You know what? I thought it would be a good idea to start off our program today would be maybe a brief history of Thanksgiving Day in America, because you're pretty good about that stuff. Where did Thanksgiving Day come from?
Well, okay, listen. First of all, everyone's expecting me to say it, and I will, and we've got to go to the Pilgrims. And this is a flyover at 35,000 feet. But
right.
If somebody would please take the time, and I think it would be a great holiday practice right now, is to not get the Thanksgiving story from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Or the first website that pops up on your Google search. You need to really dig in. And find not only the accuracy of the Thanksgiving story, but the why.
Yeah.
Why did all this happen? And of course, you're going to go to the fact that there were that collection of Christians who really believed in the Word of God, to the point that while in England, of course, as the brethren got together, the fellow believers, they began to understand that a governmental dictate regarding worship under the king was unacceptable. And of course, we know them as pilgrims. They were separatists, meaning yep. that they had made the determination, we are not going to worship God under the constraints of a government-dictated religious system. The Church of England was saying, this is the way it's going to be, and this is what you're going to preach, this is what you're going to do. Yeah. And so they began to meet in secret. They began to meet in private. Well, as the separatists, as these pilgrims began to grow in number, they became a threat to organized religion / the state, the Crown of England. Yeah. And what a lot of people don't realize is they were very ill-treated. They were ostracized. They were mocked, often imprisoned. But if, again, this is from 35,000 feet. They eventually made it over to Leiden, Holland, where there was more tolerance. Leiden, beautiful town today. You can look it up. It's still beautiful. Yeah. Back then, also sweet little college town. It was a place where tolerance was accepted, and the pilgrims felt safe there. But after about 11, 12, 13 years of being there, they noticed that their children were beginning to adopt some of those very, very liberal ways. A long story short, and a lot of drama, they eventually set sail for the new land. I mean, they came to North America very clear. If anyone, listen, friends, if you have any doubts or if you've heard anything contrary, why did the pilgrims come? You hear all kinds of stuff. Well, you can find out why they came very simply. You can look at or read the Mayflower Compact. Mm-hmm. That's what they wrote. They wrote down their governing body of law.
Yeah.
And it's the Mayflower Compact. And they did that and read it. They make it very clear why they came, to the glory of God, and what their government would be, a government under God. And the mission statement was to advance the Christian faith. It's all right there in the Mayflower Compact. And so, you know, again, we can't cover it in one program, but there are a lot of revisionists today saying all of these other things about how America was created or how the pilgrims, why the pilgrims came. And you just need to go to the pilgrims. By the way, William Bradford, you can get the book. You can buy it at Amazon or anywhere else. William Bradford wrote a book and you can read it. It's available and you can read it from the horse's mouth, as it were. The very motive and vision and mission of the founding of America. But of course, Davey, we go to the pilgrims and yeah. their intent.
So let me ask you, can we point, as Christians, can we point to specific verses in the Bible that might relate to our Thanksgiving? Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. And for one point, again, you got to know history, right? But when you go back to the pilgrims and their statements, when you read these guys in their writings, they're giving thanks to God. They are mentioning numerous scriptures over and over again. Their prayers are recorded as they sought God and they praised God and they were willing to sacrifice their lives, all citing scripture. They believed that God wanted them to discover a new land where it could be an area dedicated to God. And they got that from scripture. Now, look, I'm not endorsing this. I want to be careful how I say this. But when you read the early writings of the Pilgrim Fathers, they believe that they were the, quote, new Israel, and that they were leaving Europe in their exodus to the promised land. Now, I now today know what they mean or meant, I'm not endorsing replacement theology by no stretch, but they mimicked, they used that as a template. Hey, God did a great work with the children of Israel coming out of their Egypt, and maybe we can be like another Israel leaving our Egypt, England, yes, and coming to our promised land. So the scriptures replete, they reference often scripture. And frankly, I wonder these days why schools are not teaching the actual story, but you can't teach the actual story without reading excerpts from the Bible. That may be the reason why history is being lost in our public place today.
I just don't think you can be thankful without humility. And I don't think you can be humble without being thankful. Does that make sense?
Well, Davey, you just mentioned something that I literally had open right here. Look, I'm holding it in front of you. You didn't know this, but I have a history devotion, a daily history devotional book entitled Lost Episodes, Daily Inspirations from America's Amazing Stories. And it's written by a very good friend of mine, Dr. Kenan Cureton at the Family Research Council. He's a pastor, he's a theologian, he's a historian. What a great thing to be wrapped up into one guy. And he shares about a gentleman who matches, in my opinion, the man of humility. And I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln. I mean, Lincoln was famous for being humble. And even his opponents made mention of his humility. November 24th, and I'm reading, President Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation for a day of thanksgiving and praise to be observed on the last Thursday of November in 1863, issued a few months after the bloodiest battle of the Civil War at Gettysburg. With the outcome of the war still in doubt, Lincoln nevertheless called the nation to give thanks to God. And I quote Lincoln now, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties," listen to him, "which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of extraordinary in nature, that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." He goes on, "In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well of iron and coal, as of all the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than here therefore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the siege and the battlefield. No human counsel has devised, nor have any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered us in mercy." Close quote. Is that awesome? That's Lincoln talking to us to give thanks in the midst of the most bloodiest chapter of this nation's history. And through it all, a man who had been devastated by so many tremendous challenges, unlike any other president in our history, could see the hand of God at work. That is a disciplined heart to give thanks to God. We need that in each of our lives today.
So I know the answer to this question kind of, well, I'm going to ask it in a way that I really don't know the answer to, is, are we as Christians required to be thankful?
I think you're putting it nicely, to be honest with you.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the strange thing to what we're talking about. I believe we are demanded. We are required. We are ordered to give thanks. Now watch this. If you've got to tell your child to say thank you, I mean, let's be honest, that kind of takes the luster and the joy out of it, right? If you've got to tell them to be thankful, wouldn't you rather have a spontaneous response out of your kid? Oh, thank you, Dad, right? Thank you, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's where it comes together. Yes, we are ordered to give thanks. Why? Because thankfulness is a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a settlement of the heart. Once we get into the habit of being thankful, once we practice thankfulness, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, give thanks. Hmm. Well, once we practice it, Davey, then it becomes a habit. And then you begin to be thankful for stuff in the midst of civil war, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of danger. We back up and say, hey, wait a minute. I've nurtured a heart of thanksgiving. In the midst of all this tough stuff, I see these good things. That's a discipline that we've got to be ordered to do until it becomes second nature.
Mm. So let me throw this out there. What you're saying is there is thankfulness that comes naturally, and there is thankfulness that comes unnaturally? Is that a fair way to put it?
Why not? Sure. And I think the thankfulness that comes, as you say, unnaturally,
yeah,
is the thankfulness that we might turn to ourselves or to our husbands or our wives or our children and say,
okay,
now look, kids, this is a really tough chapter for us. We're right now going through a tough season of our lives here as a family. Can we stop right now and write down on a piece of paper what we're really thankful for?
Yeah.
Can we right now begin to do that? Let's discipline our hearts to be thankful. So I would actually turn to Emmy or Ollie or to Ames. I'm using the names of my grandkids.
Sure.
And say, hey, in the midst of this thing right now, can you tell me one good thing that God would give us thanks for? And I got to tell you, hey, listen, all you adults out there, I got to tell you, kids are amazing at this.
Yeah.
The world seemingly could be falling apart. You know, the fires could be raging or the storms could be devastating. And you turn and you ask your seven-year-old, hey, can you think of any good in this? And you better get ready to write it down or get it on camera because out it's going to come. They will find good in the midst of the darkest thing. We need to be like that. Jesus said we need to become like little children. And I think that's one of the things that he talked about.
So if you haven't sat down at the Thanksgiving table yet today, why don't you start with the kids? I mean, I like to go around the table and say, you got to tell me what you're thankful for.
Yeah.
Why don't we encourage folks, start with the kids.
Oh,
start
with
the young ones. I think that's the way to go. Let's do that this year.
I tell you what, I think you're right on because they ought to set the tone. In fact, look, it's great. The adult, maybe it's you and I, Davey, or producer Steve, we say, let's be thankful. That's what the scripture says. Let's give thanks, you know?
Right,
so that's a command,
yep.
Right? That is a discipline. That's an order. Let's go around the room. But you're right, Davey. Start with the little ones. Don't start with the teenager. That's going to be tough for the teenager, you know. And don't start with the adults because that might be a little bit. But start with the little ones. Junior, you know, what are you thankful for? And they're going to say, I'm thankful for my stuffed bear or my, you know, my Tonka truck or whatever it is or my Hot Wheel. And there it goes. Off to the races we go to give God thanks.
So let me throw this out there. Can I ask you on a personal level, if I came to you at the dinner table and said, okay, Pastor Jack, tell me what you're thankful for. What would be the first thing of it?
Immediately, I would be thankful for God getting me through this year because some of you may or may not know, but I suffer with severe insomnia. I'm thankful that I've been able to stand up vertical this year.
Yeah.
Going sometimes 24, 48 hours without sleep, sometimes longer, and trying to stay committed to study, to preaching, teaching. I'm immediately grateful that I didn't wind up in the hospital or worse. So I am so thankful that God and his grace has given me the physical ability to stand in the midst of sleeplessness. Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. And I quite frankly, am thankful for that.
Well, I want to ask you, Davey, let's turn it right back on you, brother.
Oh, you're making it way too easy on me.
Come on.
I will say my first answer is my grandchildren. I just had two grandchildren this
year.
Yeah,
you have.
Right. But here is the specific that I'm thankful for. You ready? I walk into the house now and my oldest grandchild smiles.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm there. Bing. Done. Yep. Thankful.
Yes.
Okay, but let me throw this out there, okay? I'm also very thankful for what God, we've just got a few more minutes left on today's broadcast. I'm thankful for what God's doing with this ministry specifically. Now, just so you folks, if you don't know, we do a program on Sirius XM. We do a program on terrestrial radio, many radio stations here in the U.S. and around the world. We do our Happening Now program on online, on Facebook. We've got the Real Life app. We've got a lot of ways that the Lord is using this ministry to change people's lives. And if you don't mind, I'd love to throw a couple thoughts out just real quick, just to thank folks for spending time with us during the year. This is a great one. Denise writes into us and she says, "Hi, Jack. I listened to the radio broadcast on a Christian station while I was traveling." She said, "I normally listen at the website, and I listen to the website while I'm at work." She says, "And I always look forward to the next program."
Wow.
Isn't that great? That's yeah. Kind of cool. A SiriusXM listener named Laura. "Dear Jack," she says, "God in his gentle grace has recently grabbed hold of me and radically changed my heart and life." Isn't that great? Yeah, and she gives credit to the fact that she listens to us on Sirius XM.
And I just came back from the East Coast. We were up in Canada and Boston and New England, and it was bizarre to talk to people standing in line, you know, at a restaurant or whatever, and get into conversation with somebody who would say, "Oh, you know what? I listened to you on a Christian radio station here in Maine, and yeah. I didn't even know we were on the radio in Maine." And this happens all the time. And the amazing thing is I am absolutely, I'm just cut out at the knees when I hear such things. Blown away that together, you guys, that we get to do the word of God to benefit people and their growth is overwhelming to me. It is beyond, listen, I'm thankful beyond.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? People listen on the Real Life app. They get the devotions that come out into your email box. And, oh, listen, the Happening Now series is fairly new.
Yeah, brand new.
To us, right?
Yeah,
it's brand new. And it's lighting some fire. It's lighting some fires online. Online on Facebook. It's called Happening Now. Melody writes in and says, "I listen to you online and on Facebook all the time. Tonight was epic with Don Stewart." I love Don Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah, we encourage all of you to tune in. As Davey just said, it's called Happening Now, and we've decided, in light of all the craziness that's out there, all these people saying the world's going to end on this day or that day, or watch out for this, it's going to explode, don't go outside, the sky's falling. We took on these challenges, and we look at everything once a month. We pause and we look at everything that's happening, what we'd say in the prophetic context of Scripture, in light of current events, what's happening in Syria, Israel, all these things, and we bring it all under the authority of the Bible and not emotions, hype, or internet news. We're looking at what the Bible says to the events around us, and people are loving it. And right now, yeah, we've got Don Stewart as a guest, and I've got other guys coming, some good friends. We've got Dr. Ed Heinsohn coming from Liberty University. He's going to sit in. We've got a few other things going on where it brings this hype and hysteria, I believe, under control regarding Bible prophecy. We are big advocates here for Bible prophecy, but what we don't want to do is endorse or pump up whimsical, unbiblically based feelings and emotions. Things like this, Davey, where people say, "God told me to tell the world that the earth is going to blow up on the day of the eclipse and you need to..." No. That's not biblical. It's not of God. And that's why you said it's lighting up a little bit of a storm online, because people are being challenged. Read what the Bible says and believe it, or you're going to go believe what some prophet from his closet is saying. And frankly, I'm very passionate about that truth. Yep.
All right. You know what? We are out of time. Let's wave and say happy Thanksgiving to everybody who's listening today. We really appreciate you joining us today. Have a great Thanksgiving, would you? And write to us and tell us what you're thankful for in your life. We'd love to hear you. Go to our website, and which is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless all of you.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.